We are continuing our study on the great letter from the hands of the Apostle John. The Apostle who was called to follow Christ as a teenager when he was mending his nets. And as we saw in the last message, John began by presenting to us a life which appeared in history in the form of a person was touched, a person was seen and heard and handled. And this person was real. Not a phantom, not a vision, but real in human form. It was a man who lived and walked among us, John said. And John, together with the other apostles, heard him speak, saw with their eyes, and looked at and also touched his body. And John also further states, which was from the beginning, was a real person. He actually appeared in history. He was a historical being. They have never forgotten him. They have experienced him personally. And that's what John is talking about. Life, as life was intended to be lived in this person. Who is that person? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's revealed to us. His life is experienced. His life is proclaimed, and this life of living together will result in two wonderful things, fellowship and joy. It's real, and this is what John is writing to us about. And all this occur as we come to know this living Lord. And now as we continue this morning, John says that this life was also a message. Jesus said, and he's still saying to the world, his life is a message. We know that how a man's life can become a single message. For example, the life of Adolf Hitler, for instance. It has become a message to the world, a message that tells us how pride, pursued to the full, opens the door to demonic power and terrible, frightening things can follow. Or the life of Osama bin Laden, an Islamic terrorist leader that led the terrorist organization called the Al-Qaeda that was responsible for the 9/11 attack, which injured more than 6,000 and killed about 3,000 people. Or the life of Saddam Hussein, the dictator of Iraq from 1979 to 2003, when 2 million people died as a result of his action. And even approximately 40 of his very own relatives were murdered by him. Or the life of Mao Zedong, the dictator of China from 1943 to 1976, when millions of Chinese died by execution and starvation. 10 of millions were sent to labor camp, 5 million were executed, and in total, Mao Zedong had 70 million people killed under his regime. What is the message of these people? A message of cruelty, murder, and evil. And in contrast to that, we also read about the life of that amazing man named John Newton, commonly known as the one who wrote the most famous and popular song that most of us sing, The Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. When he was young, he was involved in the Atlantic slave trade. And during his 1748 voyage to England, a violent storm battled his vessel off the coast of County Donegal Island so severely that he called out to God. He cried out to God for mercy, and he was rescued. And his rescue marked his spiritual conversion when the ship drifted to safety. What was his message? A message of the amazing grace of God in his life. He was wretched. He was lost. He was spiritually blind, but his life took on a new meaning when he experienced the saving, amazing grace of God. And now as we look into the scripture, into the book of John, we see that the whole life of Jesus Christ was also a message. What was his message? John goes on to tell us in one verse, in verse 5, this is the message we have heard from him and declared to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. And it is here, if you notice, given to us the message of the life of Jesus Christ. And that is what Jesus came to tell us and what he imparted to us as we get to know him. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If you put positively and negatively, you notice there, positively God is light, and negatively in him there is no darkness at all. And Jesus himself said in John chapter 8 verse 12, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, will have the light of life. And Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You notice here, light and darkness. Light versus darkness. What exactly does the message mean when we read here, God is light? And obviously the Apostle John expects us to think about this a bit, for he says this is the meaning of all that Jesus came to do and to be. And it is imperative for us to understand this verse here. It says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. You notice John does not say light is God. It is God is light. You cannot reverse that order. If it were light is God, then of course the Indian who greet the rising sun with arm outstretched and burn incense to it are truer worshippers of God than we. No, it does not say that. It does not say light is God. Here it says God is light. So if we want to understand the character of God, then we need to observe what light is. What light does? God does. What light accomplishes? God can accomplish in our lives as well. Do you get it? Well, then let us begin with the first question. What does light do? What does light do? In this enlightened 21st century, we feel we have learned a great deal about light, much more than man knew 50 or 100 years ago. And we have analyzed it today. We have broken it down into a spectrum. We can take a fractional part of it and use them for various purposes. We have timed it and measured its speed. We know that it is the fastest thing known in the universe. We have managed to produce X-ray and laser beam, which do amazing and phenomenal things. And we now have it in different design and shape as well as different colors. Just look at our starlight above you. Just look at the starlight. Aren't they beautiful? It's not put up there to put you to sleep or for you to count the starlights. It is just an added beauty to make this hall more comfortable and attractive. Now, brothers and sisters, if that is all that we have really learned about light, then we have really learned nothing. And that is the humiliating thing about it. We have not learned anything really important about light. What is the great function of light? Just imagine. Imagine knowing everything about money. Of course, every one of us know about money, especially Chinese people. We really know about money because it comes in different sizes and the color and the forms of coins and banknote. And in Malaysia here, we have 5 cent, 10 cent, 20 cent, 50 cent, $1, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100. And yet not know what is the great function of money entails. Now, I do not really know whether to cry or laugh when I read this joke of a man who came out from the jungle. He was invited to the city by a missionary. And this man was born in the jungle, and he had been living there in the jungle for 40 over years. And so it was the very first time he came out of the jungle and he went out with the missionary and he saw these tall buildings and lift and escalator and cars and so on. And then the missionary put him to stay in a small budget hotel. He then gave him a stack of cash, money, okay, so that he could use it when he walked around the city. And this man had never seen cash in the money before in his life. And he was never told by the missionary what and how to use it. So one day he went out to the city alone, and he saw someone sneezing. And the person took out a piece of paper to wipe his nose and then threw it into the dustbin. Now you can guess now what I'm going to say. That's right. This man actually thought the cash, the stack of cash, which to him is paper, was to wipe his nose and then to throw it away. He did not know what the function of money was. Now, but by the way, brothers and sisters, if you really do not know the function of money, or you have too much, you do not know how to use it, you can pass it to Pastor John. I put in the offering back to support mission, as our mission fund for 2018 is way behind our target this year. Now, similarly, the great function of light may be universally known, or may have been known ever since the beginning of history, but man may still not have learned the real importance of light. Now, what does light do? Do you know? Basically, it's threefold. First, the most characteristic thing about light, the thing that we are enjoying at this very moment, and probably the first discoverable facts about light, is that light reveals. I can see you because there's light in this sanctuary. And you can see me for the exact same reason. And unfortunately, we can see pimples and wrinkles as well, and gray hair as well. Light reveals. If there were no light, you could hear me, but you could not see me. Darkness concealed, but light reveals. Now, 8 years ago, I was invited to speak at the Chichema Baptist Centenary Celebration in Nagaland. Almost 90% of the people in Nagaland are Christian. And it was during the winter, and the service were held outdoor at night. And it was cold, very cold. Now, if Pastor John say cold, you better believe me, because I can really take cold. Even minus 20, also no problem. The meeting was attended by over 7,000 old people. And even the chief minister, the one standing beside me of Nagaland, also flew in by helicopter to attend the meeting. And as the chief minister was there along with me, and my wife was also there as the guest, they actually built a very special temporarily called VIP toilet just for us. And they call it special VIP toilet. However, inside the toilet, there was no light. And there was no roof to cover it as well. And we had to really depend on the moonlight to use the toilet. So you really have to pray very hard for a clear sky with the moon giving you light whenever you had to go in to use the toilet, because you do not know what you are stepping inside the toilet. In the darkness, we could see nothing, but the moonlight on top helped make it clear. That's the first function of light. It enables us to see. It enables us to see things that have been there all the time and which we could never see till the light shines. And that is exactly what John means. God also does that. God reveals reality. God, through Christ, opens up the eyes of the heart, and life comes into focus and we can see them clearly. It does not all happen in one amazing transformation. And often it is a gradual process, for we would not be able to take the full revelation at once. For example, today many people in the past, now, and even in the future will be baffled by the great question of life. And we keep asking this question: what am I here for? What is it really all about? What really is worthwhile about life? And how do you fit death into this whole picture? And how can I understand and control myself so as to handle rightly what comes? You see, the more I learned about life, the more powerful I became until I met Jesus Christ and began to understand the message of life, the message that is revealed in His Word. And little by little, things began to come clear, and I'm no longer confused. The road ahead of me is clear. I know why I'm serving full time. I know why and how I acted and the way people acted. And I know that life is uncertain and hell is a reality to those who do not know Jesus Christ. I know. Out of my darkness, one fact became increasingly clear to me, and I discovered that it is the key to many things. It is the fact that the solution to most of our troubles lay within us. The problem is not outside of us. We are the big problem. Why? Because of our sin. We have all gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And that is what God does. God is light, and light reveals. And so let light shine upon the mystery of darkness in our own lives. And then two, light also measures. Now I handled and managed to oversee a few construction and renovation work. And some people think that pastors only stay behind the desk and just prepare sermon and pray. I even heard one member say to another Christian, that's all pastors do, they're so free. Well, I totally disagree with that. As a pastor myself, I do much more than just sit behind the table and just prepare sermon and pray. I monitor all the renovation, construction work in our church, maybe a few times daily. And so much so that even the workers who are doing the work here and renovation for us are scared of me, and they dare not be lazy. You know, I like to see how they do their work, and I make sure they do their work well too. And just recently in our renovation of our Sharma Hall on the fifth floor, I saw this worker using a beam of light. He was just holding a small thing to measure the ceiling and to mark the holes. He was trying to see if it was crooked or not. Brothers and sisters, that is what light can do. This worker was measuring it against a ray of light because light is straight. And anything that does not correspond to the light is crooked. Correct or not? Light is the most common measuring stick in the universe. We measure whether things are straight or crooked by light. And surveyors use light to measure distances and angles to see whether they are ups or down, or they're high or low, or right or left. And that is what light does. And that is exactly what John means here. God also does that. God is a measuring stick, a point of reference. You can use God to measure everything else. Men are forever seeking to solve the puzzle of life on every level around us, in economics, in politics, in social and scientific aspect, as well as psychologically. Whatever it may be, we are confronted with the mysteries and the puzzles that wherever we turn. We try to seek for solution to this puzzle, and we come up with many, many proposed solutions and answers to the problems. And some are contradictory, some are supplementary to each other, some are absurd, and some are stupid, and some are very appealing and very practical. We are constantly asking ourselves the question, how do I know which one is right? How do I know who has the real answer? Or where do I get the measuring stick that can apply to these voices that I hear? Brothers and sisters and friends, this is where God comes in. Is your marriage working out? Do you get all kinds of advice how to make your marriage work? And people will tell you a romantic dinner once a month, or flowers and surprises, more kisses, jewelry, and say to your spouse, I love you, I miss you, darling, honey. But what when it is all missing? When your marital life seems boring and unfulfilling, and you're drawn into temptation to get away from it and run off with another woman or another man and start all over again. But then when you measure it against God's word, the Bible, and there you learn the unpleasant truth that the marriage life is for life, to have and to hold, to for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, as long as you both shall live according to God's holy ordinance, and thereto I pledge you my love to your spouse, one and only spouse. And so you stay on, you hang on to your marriage, you become more forgiving, more patient, more understanding toward your spouse. You become thankful that God's light, the Bible, has stopped you from going astray. Or when you are tempted to bribe the police officer so that you can save paying $300 fine for speeding. But then when you measure it against God's word, and there you learn the truth that the Bible tells us that bribing is wrong. It is a sin to bribe. What do? You obey God's word. Because it is a measuring stick. And if you listen to some people, they will tell you, why are you so silly? Why are you so silly to pay the full amount, $300 fine, when you can just put $50 inside the book and save the $250? You know, I was stopped by a police officer many years ago for going through the red light. And the moment I wind down my windscreen, he told me, "Hari ini saya belum minum kopi." I actually told him, "Hari ini saya juga belum minum kopi." Really? And I told him, "I'm a pastor. You can issue me the saman." And then he scolded me and said, "Why pastor cannot give?" And to cut the story short, he let me off. Why? Because bribing is wrong. Bribing is wrong, not because I'm a pastor. Because God's word is a measuring stick. God's word says so. No bribing. Light not only reveals and measures, brothers and sisters, three, light also energizes. And that is the most dramatic quality about life. About light. It imparts life. It activates. It quickens. Look at the lamp and or the light bulb. They give out heat and visible light. Look at the sun. The ultraviolet radiation light is what gives us human sunburn or suntan. And that is what light does. And that is exactly what John means. God also does that. God is light, and God intensifies and fulfills and energizes our essential humanity. God does not destroy anything. God takes it and leads it on through the darkness into an ever-growing experience of life and vitality and productivity. And today, many all over the earth have lost this vision, and for them, life has become dead and dull and meaningless and filled with increasing despair. And that's why today we keep hearing more and more people are committing suicide. Even famous and successful and rich people, even people who seem to have it all. For example, Robin Williams, many of you may have heard of him, is one very good example. Actually, many people keep asking why. Why? On August 11, 2014, he committed suicide in his Paradise Cay, California home at the age of 63. He had put in roughly 35 years as a professional entertainer to keep people happy, make people happy, make people laugh. And he had already enjoyed nearly all the accomplishment that one could hope for in his field. And he has tasted the richest successes and won most of the major awards. He was nominated 4 times for the Academy Awards, winning once as Best Supporting Actor, received 2 Prime Time Emmy Awards, 7 Golden Globe Awards, 2 Screen Actor Guild Awards, and 4 Grammy Awards. And yet, he committed suicide. Please don't only think that only the poor and unsuccessful people are the ones that commit suicide. That's not true. And then a few months ago, I read in the newspaper somewhere about a particular phenomenon which is actually happening and spreading all over the European countries. Young people whose life consists of idleness and complete senselessness are actually lying down for hours as dead cops, as dead person in the park and in public places. And the content of their lives was summarized as follows when they were interviewed. Eat every day, evacuate your bowels every day, go to bed every day, that's all. Friends, sisters, and friends, is that what your life is all about? Eat every day, evacuate your bowel every day, go to bed every day, that's all? No, I hope not. That kind of low wattage substitute of life for life cries up for light as God is light. And I hope that we do not have another Robin Williams or a Leslie Cheung Kok Wing, another famous Hong Kong singer and actor who committed suicide by jumping off the 24th floor of the Mandarin Oriental Hotel in Hong Kong. These are people who feel suicidal, like Robin Williams and Leslie Cheung Kok Wing. People who are so successful, people who are looked up to, and people who are role model or heroes to so many people, but their lives are empty and hollow and seemingly meaningless. They need the light. They need the light. The light that reveals, the light that measures, the light that energizes and gives them the electric sense of vitality that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. Today, I know that many of you sitting down here in the church here, many of you have received that light. When you have found the light in Christ, your life will fill with constant excitement as God has greatly used you to convey to others that electric sense of vitality that comes from knowing Him. But for some of you, is that really taking place in your lives? You may have to ask yourself, we are different because we have received the light. We are fully charged and energized. We don't need a power bank. And we have a measure of joy now, a measure of happiness. But of course, I'm sure maybe some of you may be sitting down here. You may be thinking in your heart and mind, and you say, Pastor, all right, I agree with you that this happened to some Christian, maybe to a few Christians. But I also know of people who are like that, whom you just mentioned, who are full of joy and they have fellowship and they're so excited about their faith and they're so happy. But not all Christians are like that, Pastor John. Not all Christians are like that. Why? So the question is why? Why not all Christians are like that? And why only a few? Or why only some? What is the matter with the rest of the Christians? Why is it that not all Christians are like this way? Why are they not alert and informed and stable and dependable? And why is it that some Christians that you know, they are so untrustworthy? Why is it that some Christians that you know, they are so critical, so harsh, they are so rebelling and so negative? And you say, Pastor John, if God is light and he energizes and empowers, why does it only seem to happen to a few Christians, to only some Christians? You know, that's the question the world is asking today, isn't it? And that's the question maybe some of you, some of us here may be asking, isn't it? Yes, that's right. And John writes about it next as well, which we will discover in the next message. But for today, we need to be clear about this message. The message of Jesus is a message of light. He's the light and he's the light of the world. He came to reveal himself in order that he might reveal himself to us. As a real man, he walked on this earth and ministered for 3.5 wonderful years to be with us, to reveal himself to us and to die for our sin. And also he qualifies to be our measuring stick, just as light is the most common measuring stick in the universe. That's what light does. And that is exactly what Jesus does. And we have to go back to him to see what is right. To see what is right and what he wants us to do is all in this book. It's all spelled in this book. The B-I-B-L-E, the Bible, is useful for teaching and for rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness so that the man of God be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And if there be any decision that we make, and if it contradicts with the teaching of the Bible, then we need to make changes. We do not excuse ourselves to say that the Bible is outdated. The author does not understand our time. Or maybe some Christian may even use this excuse, God would understand why I do this thing. No. No. We confess it if we sin. And we repent to make it right and we obey. And then lastly, the message of Jesus is the message of the light. He's the light and is the light of the world. And he energizes and empowers us with the power of the Holy Spirit to walk right, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, to shine for him, to shine Jesus shine, so that man may see the good deeds and praise our Father in heaven, so that in everything we do to others what we would have them do to us, so that we do not worry, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And so my question for every one of you this morning, Christian, brothers and sisters in Christ, you believe in Jesus Christ, is your life functioning? Is your light functioning? Is the light Jesus in you functioning? Revealing? Measuring? Energizing? If not, then you have to come back to hear the next message, why it's not functioning. Why some Christians are not, lights inside them are not functioning. Let's just pray. Our Father, we ask that you grant us the ability to walk in the light. For you are the great light shining upon our darkened lives, the breakthrough, the darkness, and teaches us how to become the kind of person you intend us to be, responding to the light to bear fruits for your name's sake, to shine Jesus shine, so that in the midst of the darkness, our light keeps shining, and that Jesus, light of the world, shines through us, upon us. Father, help us, we pray. We thank you for your word that the light of Jesus reveals and measures and energizes. And that when we have Jesus in us, our lives should also reveal and measure and energize us as well. So that people may see the good deeds in us and praise you, our God who is in heaven. Father, we know that oftentimes we also feel, and oftentimes we know that Christian, your children also feel sometimes we fall and our lights inside us are not functioning. It does not shine. It's kept in darkened places, covered by cloth, covered up, that it does not shine. Lord, may you forgive us. May you help us to evaluate ourselves this morning so that, Lord, that our light will start to shine. Has always been there. There's more light that is in us. It's always there, but have not been functioning. But now, Lord, we confess before you and admit that we are wrong. We have sinned against you. And, Lord, we ask that you remove the darkened sight of us, that, Lord, that the light of Jesus now start to shine in the midst of the darkness, to shine, Jesus, shine, we pray. Thank you for your word, we pray. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.